Tommy, you've said in the past on this show,
what's that?
Parents are way more involved in their kids' lives than your parents were.
Yeah.
And when you say it as a compliment.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it's not always a good thing. And this would be one of those examples.
Too close for comfort.
Well, Tommy, look, the list of tips we had 2 weeks ago to make sure teachers and parents get along even in the most stressful of situations.
Yeah.
Apparently is not good enough for some people. But the option they suggest is way more difficult than they want you to believe.
Oh.
It's Wednesday. It's 8 o'clock. It's time for Hate Mail of the Week. You're hanging out in the break room. Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. And right now, right before we went on our break, we talked about parents who don't get along with their kids' teachers. And it seems that's happening more today than it really ever has in the past.
A little tension.
Right? It's a legit issue for whatever reason. So instead of going scorched earth, this article had tips for when you don't see eye to eye. For example, the first tip, Tommy.
Yeah, what's that?
Give the teacher insight on how your child learns and behaves. What has your child struggled with before? Potential family problems that could be a distraction. Ways to communicate with your kids if there's a problem.
Okay, come in with a bunch of excuses while your kid's falling behind.
Tip number two.
Yeah.
Ask questions of the teachers instead of making demands. Instead of demanding a bad grade get changed or accusing them of doing something wrong, ask, what can my child do to get their grades up?
Mm.
Tip number three.
Try harder.
Don't go over the teacher's head, no matter how tempting it is.
I'll talk to your principal.
And Tommy,
yeah.
Based on how you were raised, you found the whole tip thing silly.
Yes.
Your parents always believed the teacher.
Oh, yeah.
And you, despite hating teachers even as a grown man, seem to always side with the teachers as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense. Okay. Turns out.
Rubs a slack ass.
Turns out.
Yeah.
Not everyone feels the way that you do. In fact, one man wrote us a letter to tell us this list was pointless. There's only one way to ensure your kid gets the teacher they deserve. And that's to take things into your own hands.
Oh, how do you do that?
Actual physical letters sent through the mail telling us we suck. The first one of 2026. Sit back and enjoy today's Hate Mail of the Week.
Those tips for dealing with teachers are garbage. Most teachers have a God complex, and you can't tell them when they've screwed up. If they don't like your kid, it's been decided, and that's just how it is. The only way you can make it better is to get your kid out of that situation. Get them out of school entirely. Either send them to a private school, which is going to give them a better education anyways, or do the smarter move and homeschool them yourself. No one knows your kid like you do. With private school, you get to pick and choose how your kid gets educated based on where you send them. With homeschool, it's even better. You get the chance to nurture your kid's gifts and put them on the right track without some factory school just pushing them to the side. It's the only way from this point on that kids in this country will get a real education. Sincerely, Peter.
Tommy?
Yeah.
Private school or homeschool is the only way to get your kid the right education that they deserve.
Well, I've done one of them.
Yes.
Didn't do the other.
Okay.
And it did wonders for me.
All right. So there's a lot to break down here.
Yeah.
And the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9260. I'm going to let you choose. Do you want to start with private school or homeschool?
I know private, so I would lean towards private. And you went to private.
I also went to private high school. All right, Tommy, this man claims that you get to choose what teacher handles your kid, sending them to whatever private school they want to go to. Would you agree with this man?
He's kind of alluding to the fact that you get to pick their path of education.
I think what he's saying is depending on which private school you send them to, you
fair.
Have more
like,
say.
Okay, yeah.
Well, you could pick and choose what school.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
To an extent.
Yeah.
I don't think it helps.
Why?
Because, like, no matter where you put my ass was going to be my ass.
Okay.
I don't care how much money you threw at it, man.
No, we saw your father threw a lot of money at
it. A fortune.
Yeah.
A small fortune.
Yeah.
It didn't make any difference. And a matter of fact, when I went to military school, I was just with a bunch of me's.
Okay.
It was a prison full of wise asses.
Well, okay.
And we all worked on our game together.
There's a difference between private school and kiddie prison, which you were sent to.
Yes, I was. It was a boarding school.
Yeah.
I went away. Yeah.
That's even more
intense.
Yeah.
Okay, like Tommy said, full disclosure, my kids go to Aquinas. I am an Aquinas graduate myself.
Remember all the dicks you knew in private school, man?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there was just a ton of them, man, that were just like, the parents sent them there saying, oh, here's my money, fix my kid.
No, I mean, you're exactly right.
And that was it. That was it.
There were a whole bunch of kids like that, right? Like this idea that you are sending your kids to be with like a higher brow.
And that's going
to
change.
Exactly.
But the kids still got the same personality.
Exactly. And I do want to be clear here. I didn't send my kids to Aquinas to get away from bad teachers. Like Rush Henrietta, where we live, is fantastic. I just had the opportunity. I wanted to give them the opportunity.
No, it's a great, but your kids are good students.
But it makes me laugh out loud that there are people who think that private school teachers are going to be more likely to listen to you about your kid.
Right. And by the way, they're usually, back in the day, less pay.
Still, that's the case now.
Yeah, they're not making big bank to do this.
You got it.
I think, though, that there are some parents who... when they send their kid to private school, because I'm paying you, that I should have a say in more than what I would have sending them to a different school.
You're right, but I will tell you this from personal...
I'm not saying that that's the case,
I think that's what people think.
Yeah.
I will tell you this from personal experience. The teachers that I had in private school were way more hard-ass than the teachers that I had at public school, right? And I get that's why some people send their kids to private school to straighten their kid out because the teachers aren't going to have to take any crap, right? But you know what a private school can do that a public school can't? Tell you to get the hell out.
Yes, I can.
And that's the funniest part. Like, a private school can say, this is how we do things, and if you don't like that...
You sign an agreement. Exactly. It's a contract.
Here's the door. Not to mention, the biggest issue for a lot of folks here is the cost of private school. Like, Peter, that was his name, right?
Peter.
Like, completely ignores the fact that you would have to pay money to send your kid to get an education. It's not free, and it's not something you want to do on a whim, reacting to you or a teacher your kid doesn't like.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man, like, I had a great experience there personally. My kids love it. I know, based on friends that I had there, folks that have sent their kids to different private schools, it's not for everybody, and it's not this fix-all pill that some people think it is.
Certain kids thrive in different situations. It's better for some kids than others. But I also like. But you also knew those kids where it's like, I think everywhere they went, there was a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But according to their parents, it was just not the right situation. Not a good fit.
But it's amazing, like, you know.
A lot of times, a homeschooling seemed like the last option for those people. Not necessarily that they chose to do it. This is all we have left.
All right, let's talk about homeschool in a second. 252 WCMF, again, talking about Peter's letter saying that the tips that we read to like help with teacher-parent conflict, useless. The only option you have when your kid doesn't like a teacher or teacher doesn't like your kid, put them in private school or homeschool them.
Yep.
Crystal's on CMF. Hey, Crystal, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing lovely. On that letter... First of all.
Okay.
Second, kids have too many choices today. They need direction. I did go to private school. What I learned was just more morals because it was Catholic. And so,
by the way, hey, Crystal, I love that you're toeing the company line, but I actually learned the opposite of morals based on the kids I was going to school with.
Right. So it boils down to your parents. Right? You get your more of everything in your foundation is from the home. What's going to happen when this kid goes to go to work? Is he going to say, oh, I don't like my boss. I want to choose a different one tomorrow because they didn't agree with me?
All right. Hold on. Look, as much as I agree with your overall sentiment here, I do think it's important to pause the conversation to point out there are situations that kids can be put in with teachers that just aren't good for them, right? You can't sit here and say that every kid that has a problem with a teacher they have is incorrect in saying that.
I had very strict teachers.
Oh, I did too.
I had to listen. I had to really listen, and it was fine. I'm very successful in the workforce, 47 years, and now retired.
And you're wasting your time calling a radio show, running your mouth.
My kids are very stable, and so are my grandchildren.
No, I'm not saying you're not successful.
I'm so great, nailing it all the time, 47 years in the biz, baby. I'm a millionaire.
All right, Crystal, thank you for the call. Have a good
break room sucks. No, I'm so cool.
Both things can be true, that this guy's take is bad, but there are examples where some things have to happen. It's a rare case.
It's not perfect.
Right? Okay. Let's talk about homeschool.
Right.
So, Tommy, homeschooling has become very popular since the pandemic.
You talking about weirdo high?
In 1999,
my boy's outside playing the violin while he's playing basketball.
What are you talking about?
It's really cool, man.
In 1999, there were 850,000 homeschool kids in America. Last year, there were 3.7 million.
God damn, man. That's got to be like some states.
That's an over 400% increase.
That's got to be like Connecticut.
25 years, over 400% increase. From 2018 to 2021, it doubled nationwide. So what some people also won't tell you about homeschool.
What's that?
That can get very expensive.
Oh.
Most people now pay for programs that come through independent businesses that educate your kid. And I know this because my sister got pregnant at 15, and she had to be pulled out of school to, you know, have a baby.
Yeah.
And we tried this. My family tried this.
Homeschooling?
When she was at home, homeschooling. And it was a disaster. It did not work. She ended up going back to school and getting her high school degree. I would assume now a lot of it's done online. So that would require less hands-on interaction.
So wait, so there are packages you could buy?
Yeah, that's most homeschooling.
Then you just apply the package.
Oh, okay, so you, when my sister was doing it, and this was in...
It's like the Omaha Steaks of education.
It really is. So I think this was 2006. She, yeah, like they sent books and workbooks and things
everything
like that.
Everything you had to complete.
Of the people I know that homeschool kids now... It's like an online portal.
Okay.
So they pay a subscription service or like a one-time fee.
So there's some structure and help.
Yeah, and like mom and dad, like my mother had to like teach my sister.
Yeah.
Now there are like programs where there's like staffs that are, you essentially have
a... Yeah, you know, the cameras are on, right?
But no, I'm just saying, my mother is not a teacher. I am not a teacher. You should not be teaching your kid. Not be teaching your kid.
I always wonder where how parents get the confidence to do it. Like the parents I am going to homeschool my kid and I just like, I wouldn't have the confidence to like do that as a parent and really feel like I'm teaching my kid everything they need to know. or being there just to help them through it. Even if somebody else is teaching them day to day or a program is, I don't know how much I can really assist.
I agree with you. But now you're being a dick the other way.
No, I'm not being a dick.
No, you're being Crystal.
What I'm saying. I do think.
I'm a homeschooler for your mouth.
Oh, I have to go see your mama for that.
Shut up.
Take me to school, mama.
You failed.
No, but you and I are rare where we legitimately call ourselves stupid. And we mean it. But most people don't think they're stupid.
Okay.
And most people think arrogantly that they can teach their kids.
Okay.
You know, like nobody's going to admit failure, especially if you go down that road. We know some people that were going to homeschool their kids. Holy Christ, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
They should have been doing it in handcuffs.
No, there are people I know now that are homeschooling their kids, and I like them as people.
But they're a disaster.
They're not a teacher.
Right, that's what I'm saying, but they think they are.
252 WCMF. Look, we never had the homeschool experience. We can talk about private school all day long.
I can't imagine what I would have been homeschooled.
But this man, who we know very well, had a homeschool experience. Ben's on CMF. Hey, Ben, how are you, buddy?
Pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Good, Ben. What do you got?
Good to hear from you, buddy.
So, me and my younger brother were homeschooled. For me, the reason I was homeschooled is because I would spend just as much time at home doing my homework as I was at school.
Okay, so I get what you're saying. And again, that goes back to what I was saying before. Like, not every kid, it's not a cookie cutter situation for everybody. If your kid needs the extra time.
Yeah, you're a little slower. Not a bad slow, good slow.
No, but are you saying that? All people?
He's slow,
who
but
just
good.
Said I'm stupid and mean it? Are you saying that?
He's a bit of a slow boy.
Your father paid the equivalent of $70,000 to send you to kiddie prison, and you failed out of it.
Straight S, bro.
Talked his way into a diploma.
Ben, you were saying, I'm sorry, buddy.
Yes. So for me, I noticed that like the public school format where like you do 45 minutes per each subject, and then you have to go do something totally different in 45. That doesn't work for me. Like, I have to be, like, I remember asking my mom when we first started, I'm like, can I just do my history today for the entire week? She's like, yeah, I don't see why not.
All right, but Ben, you got kids of your own now. Would you consider homeschooling them if you were the one responsible, for their education? Sorry.
No, I don't know, because I know that I can't teach my kids.
Okay.
I'm very aware of that.
He's slow.
That's yes.
For it.
Ben's slow academy.
You get it.
Ben, thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day.
Good one, guys.
There goes Ben. Ben's phone was Benning him.
Yes.
It would take him 3 days to get through the Pledge of Allegiance.
God, the fact that you stumble over that punchline gives me so much joy. My heart just grew three sizes.
And you're my friend.
Yeah, you stupid friend. And I mean it. I guess, Kimmy, you know what bothers me?
What's that?
About, you're not Kimmy.
I'm listening.
Shut up.
It's a good show.
What bothers me about Pete's letter, right? And again, like this extreme of like, if your kid, your teachers are no good in public school, public school sucks. It feels...
It's going into it, everybody's against you. Like, that's the mentality you have going into it, so you're never going to be satisfied.
But it feels like today, and if I'm wrong, 252-WCMF, tell me. Kimmy, there is way more communication and way more leeway given to parents and kids from teachers than there were when we were coming up or when Tommy was coming
communication
up.
Communication, for sure. I mean, I think teachers and parents have way more FaceTime with teachers than they used to.
Yeah. So for you to say, like, you know, it's a lost cause, like, I kind of go back to what Tommy says. Like, again, this doesn't apply to absolutely every situation. But if you're getting it better than your parents and your grandparents did with their kids, what are you doing wrong?
Right.
Right? Like, at what point can you look in the mirror and ask yourself, like, what can I be doing better for the sake of my kid or for the sake of this education? I don't know. Like... it's a free education.
Yeah.
It's a print. Like, I know we take it for granted, but it's a remarkable thing.
It set the standard around the world.
Yes. Man. Yes.
And I think about this too. Like, my father, I don't think the times he met my teachers.
Oh, I thought you spazzed out for a second.
No, but I'm trying to think of the times he met my So when I went to that Christian school, I had to go in there with him to meet this guy, Dr. Hopkins, and he was the chancellor. He ran the school.
Sure.
And that's the only time my dad met the dude, signed the contract, and paid him.
And that's the only time he met him.
That's the only time I met him. Until I graduated, Ryan. And that's what I knew. And we got in the car, and he goes, yeah, I signed the contract and everything. He goes, I read the contract, too. You know, they can smack you if they want. I go, what do you mean? He goes, they can do punishment. You better watch your mouth. So he was taking glee that this guy could beat my ass.
Oh, look, you know when you're 20 years? I totally get
that.
He
was thrilled that for like X amount of thousands of dollars, this guy could work me over like a mob hit.
Look, if there is one sentence I think encapsulates this entire discussion.
What's that?
The grass is not always greener on the other side.
True. I like that.
That's true.
And that goes not only for your experience as a parent with those teachers, but for your kids' experience not only with the educators, but also the education they could be getting.
Yeah.
There you go. Let's take a
break. All right.
You want to talk about a bad neighbor situation?
What happened?
So bad, in fact, according to allegations, he broke an old school A-number-1 man-fighting rule.
Yeah.
One that was pounded into the heads of gentlemen for like 150 years. Unless, these days, when stuff gets physical, no man is paying attention to this anymore. You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5. WCMF. We'll jump right into it. Feel like taking a trip out to Walworth?
Oh, sure.
That's where police were called to a home after reports of a dispute between neighbors at 7:30 in the morning all the way back on New Year's Eve.
Wait, New Year's Eve morning?
Uh-huh. Yep. According to police, a 52-year-old man and his neighbor got into an argument. We do not know what the argument was about. But police say at some point, the 52-year-old punched his neighbor in the face.
A total knuckle sandwich.
Straight up. Here's where it gets interesting, Tommy. Police say the punch was so powerful.
How powerful was it, Patrick?
It caused the victim's glasses to break.
Oh, that's even more embarrassing.
So the 52-year-old man not only allegedly punched his neighbor in the face, he punched a man wearing glasses.
Yes.
Tommy?
Yeah.
What does the old saying go?
Never hit a man wearing glasses.
When you were a kid, as a man, as a boy, there were three ultimate fighting rules you were taught. One.
What's that?
Don't fight girls. Two. Don't hit a guy when he goes to the ground. Three. Never punch a man with glasses.
Yes.
Is the never punch a man with glasses rule all done?
Apparently.
Or is this guy a massive
dick? I was going to say, but he's in his 50s.
He would have been taught to never punch a man with glasses.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Rule,
he was,
right?
Yeah, he was around.
Old rule.
Yeah. All right. Can I ask a potentially stupid question?
What is it?
252-WCMF, 252-9263. Did the never punch a man with glasses rule exist because broken glasses would hurt the person you punch?
That's kind of what I would think. You're going to hurt yourself.
Or, Kimmy, was that rule a thing because people that wore glasses back in the day were looked at as weakling dorks?
Oh, yeah. It was a sign of, you couldn't see, you were weak. Yeah.
So that was it?
Yeah.
You're like punching down on something.
Yes.
Okay. A couple of L7 weenies. Square man.
Well, it's also something about going for the eye area just seems like a low move, you know?
But you're punching the face.
But the same thing, where it's like, you know, you can't poke somebody in the eye in a fight because that's kind of dirty, right?
You're allowed to punch bridge of the nose if you're going to go. Right. I mean, there's no fighting. That's within the Queensberry rules.
Okay.
All All right, whether or not the don't punch a man with glasses rule still exists,
yeah.
The 52-year-old man, the suspect, was arrested, charged with harassment and something else, I forget. All right, so there's something else a little awkward in this story.
What's that?
So obviously, again, criminal mischief and harassment, I'm sorry, is what the 52-year-old was charged with. And because of the alleged face-punching, the 52-year-old neighbor was given an order of protection, so he can't go near the guy he punched.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Okay, here's a problem.
What?
He lives next to him.
Yeah, how do you do that?
252-WCMF, 252-9263.
I had to go up with the tape measure.
Well, Tommy,
1,000 feet.
With most orders of protection.
It's usually 500 or 1,000 feet, right?
Whatever. There is a number you can't go that close to the person who filed it against you. In this case, that would probably be impossible.
Hey, what if you're both going for the mail?
Yeah. Let's say you're out shoveling the driveway at the same
time.
He's
out there.
Right? Does anyone know when someone lives next to you how restraining orders work? Like
it's impossible to have it. You would have to have a special restraining order for neighbors.
How does that work? I know there is somebody listening.
It's got to be a shorter distance.
I'm sure it exists more than we think. I mean, think of how many like neighbor disputes and legal battles have happened between neighbors.
So, like, is it if let's say I'm the 52-year-old who allegedly punched the neighbor in the face? If I see him, do I have to go away
or to go inside?
Yeah. Am I just not allowed to look or speak to that person?
Yeah, but I couldn't look at you. What are you doing?
Four eyes. You're under arrest. No, he's two eyes. You broke his glasses.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I would hope they would rewrite those rules so it's a little bit easier to just live.
Okay, but again.
I don't want to get pissed off and punch him again.
Okay, but why would I be doing things to help the guy who punched him in the first place?
Well, because it also kind of, doesn't help you, the guy that got punched.
Yeah.
The guy's not going to move. He's 57?
52.
That guy's not moving. What? I'm just saying, he's an older guy. It's not like he's going to pack up and move. He's settled in.
It just blows my mind. Kimmy, I've said 52 four times. Where did 57 come from?
I mean,
about ketchup?
Seven kind of looks like a two, maybe. I don't know.
No, but if you're if you're a 60-year-old guy.
Shut up.
62.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. Again, we're talking about this 52-year-old man out in Walworth, got in an argument with his neighbor, 7:30 in the morning on New Year's Eve. Police say the argument led to the 52-year-old man punching his neighbor in the face, which broke the neighbor's glasses. Katie's on CMF. Hey, Katie, how are you?
Morning, guys. Favorite Katie from Maryland.
Hey, Maryland Katie, what's up?
So I grew up in the early 80s, like I'm 42. So I asked the same question, like, okay, why aren't you supposed to punch somebody wearing glasses? Okay. I was told that because, they looked at being weaker, and because I was taught by the men in my life, because you always want a fair fight. You make it a disadvantage. You break their glasses, they can't see you, then it's no longer a fair fight.
Okay.
We really kicked their ass.
So you're telling me then back in the day, if I wore glasses, I could just be the most obnoxious, over-the-top dick and no one could punch me in the face? Why would you not go get glasses?
Right? I mean, but, growing up, I wanted to know everything. I wanted to know why of everything. And
that's why you're so smart,
so essentially,
Katie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish. I'm like... Yeah, no, I wish.
All right. Katie, great call. Thank
and
you for the call.
Tommy.
Yeah, it's not saying much. Thank you. Have a good rest of the day, Katie. Instagram message coming in. Eric writes us, Duff and WCMF. No rules in a street fight, especially at 7:30 a.m.
It's not a street fight. It's a neighborhood fight.
Yeah.
You live on a street.
Yeah, but it's not like a street fighting man. I was also trying to think of like famous, because you said you could be the biggest a-hole if you wanted to then with glasses.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of famous a-holes that wore glasses.
Back in the day?
That's probably a lot.
There got to be a bunch of them out there.
Well, why can't we name one?
I can't think of one.
I can't even think of people in the 40s, 50s, and 60s that wore glasses now that we're talking
about. But like in the 50s.
Kissinger.
Oh, yeah. Kissinger had those big, thick horn-rimmed glasses, the black ones.
And I can think of like...
But so did Buddy Holly. Buddy Holly and Kissinger wore the same glasses.
Yeah, but Kissinger could also play guitar.
But was Buddy Holly also a big a-hole? We don't know because he... died in that plane crash.
Oh, that's why he died in the plane crash. He was being a big a-hole, distracted the pilot, took the whole thing down. Stop it, baby!
That's a big bop.
Yeah, no, he was on the plane too, stupid. That was a joke. Poor Richie Valens is just minding his own business. This joke is just for us. Kimmy, you were saying, I'm sorry.
The other thing that's it's going to suck about punching somebody with glasses, if you break them, it's going to cost you.
Do you have to pay for them?
If you caused it, them to break?
Well, here's
now I'm really like, pissed off. If I pay for the next ones, then they're mine. I'm going to break them again.
You know, I will say this. Thank God for the people that live near these two men that this happened in the wintertime. Because if this was summer, both of these guys would be pitching
all the time.
And they'd be pitching their cases, Kimmy, to the people that live around them, why you should be on their side. You'd also be forced to hear some awkward back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Between these two guys that seem not to like each other before this incident happened. Like, think about this.
What's that?
If the allegations here are true, they happened on New Year's Eve. And back on New Year's Eve, the weather outside was awful, like all week long.
Yeah.
Cold temperatures, ice and snow. How much of a problem do you have to have with your neighbor where you can get in a physical fight when no one wanted to be outside?
Yeah, you had to hang there for a little bit for it to escalate to a punch.
Right.
What the hell happened?
You must really hate this bastard.
Unless there was an argument over snow blowing or snow shoveling or something like that. But then you're wearing your glasses out in the snow? They're all fogging up. You got little flakes on them?
I don't know.
I don't like it at all.
Me neither.
You know, the other weird thing. You would think today, with contact lens technology, the glasses fighting rule wouldn't have to apply.
Oh, but you still see a lot of people wearing glasses.
Yeah, but you're wearing them because you think you look cool, which you don't.
You wear glasses?
No, I wore those blue light glasses for a little while, but I felt like a dork. And not like a dork, like if you wear glasses, you're a dork. Like because I didn't need them, I felt like I was trying too hard. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
I did look handsome.
But Kimmy wears glasses.
But she's a huge dork. And who's Kimmy going to get in a fight with?
She kicked
I don't really need these. These are those blue light glasses.
See, trying too hard.
All right.
252 WCMF. Let's talk to Chris. Hey, Chris, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. How are you this morning?
Good, Chris. What do you got?
Well, look, with this whole thing, what makes me laugh about it is when I was on the school bus growing up as a kid, I hit a girl with glasses.
You're a monster.
Not a good idea. And I feel Megan, I'm sorry.
How old were you, Chris?
Probably 6.
Okay.
Oh, a little kid.
Well, yeah, you thought he was 18?
No, I wouldn't do that then, but man, I learned my lesson. I stopped hitting people in general.
Good. That's a good lesson,
there you
Chris.
Go.
There you go. Someone should have Chris talk to this guy.
Stop hitting people.
Chris, thanks for the call. I could not imagine what would have happened to me at 6 years old if the school called my dad and said I had punched a girl with glasses on. It's like the ultimate sin.
Yeah. There'd be a lot of shame in that.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
You wouldn't live that down the rest of your life.
No, you would. Oh, like, you know.
That's not a story you tell people, even though you were only 6.
He just apologized.
You should be embarrassed forever.
He just apologized to Megan. You know, Megan has told that story about Chris her entire life.
Oh, sure.
Guy named Chris. I was wearing glasses. I'm a girl. He punched me when I was 6 years old.
Yeah, that'll traumatize you.
All right. So, look, I mean, you know, don't punch anyone with glasses is a good rule.
Good
idea. Don't punch anyone, period.
Yeah, there you go. Keep your hands to yourself.
There you go. There are two kinds of people in this world, Tommy.
Yes, suckers and who else?
No, you idiot. We're not talking about your mom. We're talking about these kind of people. There are people who, whatever they accomplish, will stand back, look at it, and be proud of themselves for getting as far as they did.
That's great.
And then there are people who will accomplish great things, come up just short of the ultimate goal, and hate themselves forever.
Yeah.
And I am curious what kind of man this guy is.
Okay.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock 96.5, WCMF. It was around this time yesterday that we let everybody listening know a Rochester man was going for it all on Jeopardy.
Yeah.
David Bond, born and raised in the 19th Ward, Aquinas graduate, served in the Navy, worked at RIT as a research specialist, and had already appeared on 3 Jeopardy game.
We got to this round.
He had been a wild card for the Tournament of Champions. All of the best Jeopardy players all year long back to be named the ultimate Jeopardy player.
Mm-hmm.
He was on News 8 last night, competing against 2 other Jeopardy champions.
Yeah.
And David Bond fell just short of advancing.
Oh, no, David.
He came in second place. He lost by a mere $4,000 to the woman who moved on.
Oh.
So his run is over, and he will most likely, Kimmy, never appear on Jeopardy ever again.
Yeah, I don't know how that works. Like, do you keep getting invited back even if you don't win the Tournament of Champions? Because technically you're still a champion, right?
Yeah, I mean, he won twice. Yeah. I think, like, it's by season, and unless you, like, keep winning and winning and winning.
Yeah,
because
I feel like there are some people I see, like, year after year, so I don't know how they make that selection.
All right, so for those who weren't listening yesterday, we told you that David was kind of obsessed with getting on Jeopardy.
Yeah, he'd been working on it for years.
10 years he had tried, and finally accomplished it. And being on four Jeopardy episodes and being invited back to the Tournament of Champions is something that only a handful of human beings can say they ever did, right? That is amazing.
Making an appearance,
But Kimmy, at the same time, you were $4,000 away from moving into the round of nine.
Well, and I don't know if you watched the episode, but there were times where he was like ahead, like he was winning until like Final Jeopardy, I think he was a few thousand short, and then nobody got the final Jeopardy.
It was all about math. Yeah. It all came down to what you wanted to risk, and he misplayed it, and he lost.
Okay.
No, I don't think he would have won anyways.
You get what I'm saying.
Mm.
But nobody...
Nobody got the Final Jeopardy question.
Right.
Yeah.
So he couldn't have caught her anyways.
Kimmy?
Yeah.
Here is my question. If you are this man, are you proud of yourself for coming this far, or are you devastated?
Oof.
That you had it in your hands to move on, and it didn't happen.
I think when you were that close, like I said, and you kind of watched your lead slip away in the end, I think that hurts more. I think you're kind of devastated because now you're just running through what you missed, what you should have known, and how close you could have come. Instead of like if you got blown out, then it's just like, well, I'm just happy to be here.
Tommy, if you're Mr. Bond, thank you for not doing it. Are you walking away satisfied, or are you walking away devastated?
It's got to eat away at him. I mean, he trained that hard.
Yeah, but he did win. He has won before, so he's at least got that.
Yeah, what happened there, Mr. Know-It-All?
Why are you mad at it? God, I hate you so much.
No, but it's got to eat away at him.
No, there's a difference between...
He's driven.
There's a difference between saying it's got to eat away at him and criticizing him for appearing on four Jeopardy episodes.
I would also think
think you're so smug.
He is. He won. He's very smart. He won two games of Jeopardy.
You know, they say a loser goes home, baby.
That's what?
I'm going to say it doesn't hurt as much losing in those earlier rounds of the Tournament of Champions.
Oh,
as it would, like, if you got really, we got to, like, that last, that final round.
Got a taste
round
of the good life, man.
That would suck way more.
No, I don't know. I think it hurts more to lose in the first round. Like, if I get one under my belt, hey, at least I got another one.
Okay.
But then this is like his, they admit they fly out to L.A., they treat you nice.
Yeah.
And then you got to drag your ass home.
Yeah.
That's got to suck, man.
I mean, to your point, you had a taste of what it was like. And you know you're never
going
to
get it again.
And you could
have kept him going, man.
Yeah. But on the other hand, again, like, who has that experience?
Right.
Who has that experience of being able to go out to L.A., be on
multiple
national television,
times.
Right?
Oh, it's like, a hell of a run.
And you're going to have that factoid about yourself for the rest of your life to impress people.
Do you get,
but
like,
you're always going to have to tell people how you did. Because if you go, I was on Jeopardy.
But he did win. I won two games and then fell short in the Tournament of Champions. But I don't think anybody's going to be like, man, you really suck.
Well, he would.
But I hope I'm not at that party. And some other people I know.
Who?
What was I saying?
I'm amazed by this guy.
I didn't say you.
When you win, do you get something you can display?
Yeah, the boot. When they give it to you. Get out.
Got that?
Boot jazz. Like,
do you get a plaque?
You must
get
a plaque for being on Jeopardy.
Man, you almost did it.
He won two games.
I know.
Mr. Bond.
Steven writes us on Instagram, Duffy at WCMF. Better to have loved and lost than not to have loved at all. I say he should be very proud of himself.
He should be, man.
I agree.
I couldn't do that.
No, I know you can't do that.
You couldn't do it.
I couldn't win two games, that's for sure. I'd win one.
You'd win one.
Here comes the arrogance.
We're not going to do this again.
I didn't say anything.
We got to hate.
I didn't say anything.
You could do it. I could do it. I tried to get on. I couldn't, but I could do it. You can't do it.
How'd you do? Did pretty good. So I got this boot that they gave me.
Can you Google if you get anything for appearing on Jeopardy?
I've never seen anything.
Because this guy won, like, I think, like, $70,000 total.
Right, but, like, you're saying, like, last night for making it that far in the round, but leaving.
I'm asking just, like, just appearing on a Jeopardy episode.
Oh, you maybe get, like, a plaque or something?
That's what she just said.
Why would they give you a plaque?
Well,
just to have something to put on display to, like, you know, show people.
Man, if I made it on a Jeopardy, my entire basement would be pictures of me on Jeopardy.
I mean, I
would have blankets made of me sitting there with the buzzer in my hand.
Wouldn't you just want to have a picture of you and the host?
I don't even know. I mean, I know who the host is, but I forget his name right now. It's not Alex Trebek anymore, which kind of sucks.
Ken Jennings.
Ken Jennings, yeah.
No, he's not doing it anymore, is he?
No,
he
so
is.
Him and me.
Jackie Green.
I think it's just Ken Jennings now.
If you're going to do a joke.
The guy used to do the news?
Shut up.
Dead.
Nobody got that, except for Canadians.
Peter Jennings.
Everyone, we got it, except they didn't.
Noon today.
It looks like the only time you get a trophy, you get the Trebek trophy if you win Jeopardy Masters.
Jesus, you got to go all the way to the end.
Yeah, but that's the only thing I'm seeing about a trophy.
So you had to hit it all of them.
Oh, no, Jeopardy Masters is even harder than you think. If I'm not mistaken, Jeopardy Masters is the tournament where they put all the winners of the tournament.
So it's all the champions. Yeah. Yeah. It's the best of the best.
Exactly. Like, you had to make it through the entire tournament of the year. You win that, and then you go up against the other
people.
All the
other guys.
That have won. Yeah. And that one, like, douchey guy from Vegas who's a professional gambler keeps winning. I hate that guy.
Is that guy still around?
He's still around.
He still shows up every now and then.
He is so effing annoying.
Yeah, but he knows everything.
Oh, he knows everything. Yeah, because if there's one guy you know, love, it's a know-it-all, you douchebag. I'm disappointed they don't give you something to display.
They probably do give you, like, a little gift bag of tchotchkes with the Jeopardy on it when you go on. You probably get the game.
Obviously, you get the money, but... okay, so the National College Championship, they get a trophy.
Ooh.
But the only thing I'm seeing is the Trebek Trophy, and that's for the Jeopardy Masters winner.
So Shawnee writes us on Instagram, Duffy and WCMF, dude Shawnee. Again, talking about our guy from Rochester, David Bond, appearing in the Tournament of Champions last night, and Jeopardy came up just short. If you didn't love him enough, he also, reminding us, he wrote Go Bills on his final Jeopardy.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, how cute.
Go Bills. Go Bills.
All right.
David, we're proud of you, buddy. Keep that chin up. You're way smarter than Tom.